it, you can have it. All you gotta do is just reach out and grab it. If you want it, you can have it. All you got to do is just reach right out and grab it.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child. You need, you already own. Well, it was given to you on the day that you were born. Anything that your heart can dream, you can make it reality.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child. Now listen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fall. So they're getting back up. That's gonna make you stronger. God only made one like you. So come on, baby, and just do what you were born to do.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
And yeah, so Merry Christmas, everyone, if you're listening. And we have here in the studio a guest, which is wonderful on Christmas Day. Sean, hello.
Hello, it's good to be here. It was sort of thrown together at the last minute. I was at a bit of a loose end, and Christmas is more or less done for me. Went to a carol service and had a light lunch with some friends, and maybe just one more thing to do this afternoon. But in the meantime, I'm here with Jane, and we're going to talk about some stuff, play some music, and but Jane's in charge.
I'm in charge. Yes, because you're listening to Heart Talks. That's why I'm in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
It's your show.
It's mine. Well, yeah, the idea was to just see who wanted to come in. That was at a loose end, and do a bit of a combined show. But yeah, so we could do a little bit of an interview and, yeah, get to know you better, because, you know, I've interviewed Aaron, interviewed Craig. So, you know, it'd be nice to see what makes you tick, what's true for you.
Cool.
Yeah. Okie dokie, well, we'll kick off with the first question soon, but let's play a song in the meantime. Do you want to choose a song? Just name one of your favourite songs and try and find it.
Let's have Fairy Tale of New York. Let's have a Christmas song.
Just finding it. Here we go. go. Is that it there?
Yeah, we'll go for the Kirsty MacColl version.
Okay, well, there's a few versions.
Yes, there are.
Okay, let's go for this one, Fairy Tale of New York, featuring Kirsty MacColl. It's the by the Pokes.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold, but the wind goes right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
In that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Fairy Tale of New York, and we're back with Sean here on Christmas Day.
Yes, that's a great song, that one of my favourite Christmas songs. And, yeah, of course, Shane McGowan, he left us, what, maybe 12 months, 18 months ago. May he rest in peace.
How did he pass?
Oh, probably. He probably had no liver left, I would suggest, because he was a bit of a drinker.
Oh, yeah. Right. Is that right? Okie dokie. Well, let's kick off this little interview that we're going to do just quickly. So the first question I ask everyone is, what makes you leap out of bed in the mornings? What you know, makes you bounce out and into the day?
Well, you've really put me on the spot here, because it's something that I'm really having to think about. Given that I'm recently retired, and I've been very fortunate in that I've been able to retire at a relatively young age, and so it's really hard to get a handle on what it is that gets me out of bed every morning. But I do get out of bed every morning, and the things that interest me the most are, well, the radio station has been a big part of my life now for the last 22, 23 years. Music, I have a number of hobbies. I enjoy cycling. I enjoy being around and with people. And I'm also sort of getting into golf a bit as of late. But that's certainly not a get out of bed and do it pursuit, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so, and my other interests include Lego. I'm a Lego investor, a Lego collector, a Lego displayer, and I have quite a collection at home, which I spend a lot of time curating, updating, upgrading, adding to, subtracting from. And, yeah, so those are a few of the things that motivate me to get out of bed every morning. But it's usually the alarm clock.
Yeah, so do you like have all of the Star Wars collection?
Oh, yes. How did you know that?
It popped into my head.
Yes, yes. And I'm an avid fan of Star Wars. And, of course, Lego picked up the license to produce Star Wars Lego sets back in 1999. And, of course, I only came to the hobby in 2014 as a result of a bit of a health scare that required me to be spending a little bit more time indoors than out. Because I was probably overly active at that time. And so I went to a Lego show up in Auckland, up in Kohimarama, and met a gentleman by the name of Michael Howell, and he introduced me to the Lego Star Wars theme. Growing up, of course, I came from a poor family in the central North Island, and Lego was just not something that was ever part of our childhood. So it's something that I came to, as I say, back in 2014, what, 10 years ago now. And from then, it's just gone, it really has exploded. You know, I've got quite a collection at home, and a lot of time and effort goes into curating that. A big part of what we as FOLs do is we love to share our passion, and so we do a number of shows throughout the year. I'm part of the Hamilton Lego Users Group, and we have one big show at the Claudelands Arena every year, usually in August, and we have another number of smaller shows throughout the year, usually at schools, and as part of a school gala or a PTA fundraiser. So I did a show in Litchfield a few weeks ago, and but there's nothing coming up now until probably February or so. But we do 5 or 6 shows a year. We do it all on a volunteer basis, and there's quite a bit of travel involved, as you can imagine. And the other aspect to the Lego collection, Lego collecting, is the investment side of it. So I've got a number of items that I consider to be part of the portfolio, air quotes, which I know have increased substantially in value over the years. And so there's a few aspects to Lego collecting and investing, and I'm sort of trying to embrace all of them at the moment, particularly with the extra time that I've had on my hands in recent months.
Cool, yeah. I think Star Wars, because I think at 99 I would have had like a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 8-year-old, so I would have been buying a bit of Lego for Christmas back then, and I'm probably thinking I bought Star Wars.
Yeah. Lego. And I have gone back and bought a number of those sets. You know, I've certainly paid a lot more than what they retailed for at the time, because they only have a production run of a couple of years. And so I've still got a number of sets from the first and second wave of Lego Star Wars releases that are still sealed and boxed. So, yeah.
Wow. Mm. Gosh. Yeah, it's amazing stuff, isn't it? It's really cool, except for when it gets stuck up the vacuum while you stand on it.
Yes. And I've lost many a Lego piece down the kitchen sink.
What were you doing with the
Lego? Washing them. Yes. Yeah, you've got to wash your Lego.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Righty, okay. Oh, well, it sounds like that's quite a bit of a passion for you, this Lego.
Yes, it is. And, of course, my love for Lego goes beyond Star Wars as well. I collect the modular buildings. I'm on a bit of a castle phase at the moment. I'm finding that it shows.
Yes.
As kids, 5 years ago, I could go to a Lego show with my collection of astromech droids and my Darth Maul bust, and the kids would be, "Oh, Darth Maul, all R2-D2. And nowadays, you know, you take those things at the show and they go, "Oh, robots," and "Oh, bad guy." And it's like there's this generational shift in the way that kids engaged with various themes. And so next year I intend on displaying a lot of castles, and so I'm in the process of building castles at the moment. And these aren't official Lego sets, they're sets that other people have designed that use official Lego bricks and sets. So I've been rather enjoying that. It's a real challenge to sort of acquire all of the parts you need and to build these designs, which have some unusual techniques and some pretty clever engineering in them. So it's been an enjoyable aspect of the collection as well.
Brilliant, yeah. And, of course, the radio station is quite close to your heart.
Yes, it is. I've been involved since 2001. It was actually Steve Hart and Jane Williams who convinced me to move to Raglan to be a part of the radio station, and I mean there was more to it than that, of course. But 2001, I was doing a New Zealand music show on a Tuesday night, and I did a show for a few years, and then I decided to focus on the organisational side of the station. So I stopped doing a show and just did work on and for the committee. We had a lot of work to do over the period, particularly with regards to policy and operations, and so I sort of engrossed myself in that aspect of the station, and it's only in recent years that I've started to do a show again, which is a daytime show, a New Zealand music show on a Tuesday between 11:30 and 1:30.
And what's your show called again?
It's just the New Zealand Music Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Mm. And so you were saying the other day that you're going to structure it so you're going to feature a particular artist.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I do a two-hour show, which is just, you know, music with a little bit of commentary on each one. I don't record it or podcast it as such because it's just a generic music show. But what I want to be able to do is perhaps, because 2 hours is a long podcast, so what I was planning on doing is spending an hour of that time doing a feature artist or a feature genre or a feature period in New Zealand music, and then maybe creating a one-hour podcast out of that, and so that there's something that we can hold on to.
Yeah, cool. And you're also the chairman of the committee.
Yes, I've been the chairman now for 2 or 3 years. I had a break from the chairmanship when Sarah was the chairperson, and prior to that I was also chair for quite a period. But as a committee, we meet once a month, and so the obligation isn't that great, but I'm in constant touch with Aaron, the station manager, and others within the organisation, just to sort of keep things on track. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you do a good job chairing the committee and keeping us on track. So yeah, it's obviously lots of experience there.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Okie dokie, let's have another song. And what's your next one
then? Oh, you can make the selection.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness. Just put a Well,
something off the Love Actually soundtrack.
Yeah, well, I did that on the last show.
Did you really?
I actually played a lot because I was at a little bit of a loose end with the show. We talked a little bit about the movie. It is my favourite Christmas movie. It's one of my favourite movies ever. But I do feel that we should play one off the soundtrack anyway because it is Christmas. So I'm thinking the selection is tricky. Are we all Christmas? Oh, we have to do Christmases all around, I think.
Oh God.
I always will. My mind's let it show.
We're back here in Merry Christmas from Heart Talks and Reckland Community Radio. And we're here with Sean, who's another DJ at the station and also the chairman of our committee. So we're just having a chat and seeing what's true for him. What is it that he really loves doing in this lifetime? Because that's, you know, that sort of, I talk about this a little bit on the show. I talk about, you know, how important it is to know your own heart, which is what your gifts and talents are that you're here to bring to the world and do on the planet. And, you know, like, for me, it's writing. It's definitely writing, because I know when I write every day, I am the happiest person around. You know, I can do animal communication. I talk to animals and, you know, and I love working with horses and love horses. But what is really, really true for me is writing. So, yeah. I've nailed it down, but there's a lot of resistance that comes with that. I'm very good at creating outside circumstances that distract me from doing it. Like, you know, sons that need a little bit of help and shifting house. And I'm really, really good at distracting myself. So, yeah. So what do you think it is? Do you know what it is for you, or are you still sort of finding out?
Well, for me, I mean, you've really put me on the spot here, because I'm coming in cold. I really had no idea that these were the questions that you'd be asking. And as such, you've given me very little time to reflect. So on that basis, it's just going to be totally off the cuff here.
That's what we like here on.
I remember my father, before he passed, telling me, you know, you've got to be happy with who you are. And I mean, that really, that cut deep, because at that time, I think my identity was not so much about me, but about what other people thought of me, what other people could bring to me. I identified myself not as an individual, but someone who was a part of something. And when that something disappears or morphs or changes, it really does have an impact on how you see yourself. And so for me, my life in recent years has been all about being happy and true to myself, and having an understanding of who that is.
Oh, yeah, that's really important. That's very important. But you did mention before that you play music, like you play piano, guitar, and so, you know, I look at when we get lost in what we're doing, I reckon that's what's really true for us too. Like, I get completely lost in writing. Like, the hours just fly by and I don't notice it. And what I also notice, like, I may have said this before too, is there's a tattooist called Dean Holland in Waihee, and he's a very good tattooist. And when you watch him work, I think a lot of them are like this though, but when you watch him work, he's completely in the moment.
Right.
He even looks different. You know, he just looks absolutely beautiful because he's in the moment and he's completely in his true self doing what he loves. So, you know, it's like, I think when we find that moment of what it is that we do, Yeah. So do you think, you know, do you do that with your music?
Well, certainly. I mean, anything I do, I become sort of completely engaged with. If it's something that I have a passion about, and, you know, building, you know, complex models or playing music or reading or listening to a really interesting podcast are all things that I love because I feel really engaged and yeah, you know, I have a strong sense of the world around us and I take an interest in any number of things and if it's something that I have a real passion for, then it's something I can feel really engaged with and very satisfied with.
Yeah, and it's true what your dad said. You do, you know, you have to be happy with yourself.
Yes, first and foremost.
Yeah, first and foremost. But a lot of people, that's an interesting one though, because a lot of people will say, oh, I'm happy with myself because I own 3 houses, I have 5 cars, and I've got, you know, a job that pays 17 figures a year. So, you know, it's people base who they are from different perspectives of themselves or what it means, you know, to be happy with who you are.
Yeah. I do have 2 cars. And I have owned homes, but not currently, and I don't think I ever will again. But, you know, I was excited about buying a pair of loppers the other day. You know, it's and for the first time in my life, I bought a line trimmer, and I was really, really excited about that.
And it's
the little things like that I sort of, you know, get really quite lightheaded about. You know, it's I've never really been a big picture person. It's those little joys that I think, you know, bring you the most happiness.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of being too, because, you know, living in the moment and, you know, just whatever's happening in the moment. I think it's the same for me. I don't currently own my own home, but I have in the past, and I owned a couple with my ex-husband and one in Obanaki a while back, but it's like I was saying before when we were off air, you know, you can't take this stuff with you. The only thing you're going to take with you after you pass out of your body is how you are in this lifetime and your way of being. Yeah, and also the impact you made on others.
Yeah. Well, I think we live in a very different world, you know. So 40, 50 years ago, you know, owning a home was almost a rite of passage, and it was something that was affordable, and it was something that most people could attain. I'm certainly not in a position financially to be able to do that currently, and as I said, I probably never will be, and so it's something that's not that important to me. I guess if I had $20 million, you know, I would probably go out and buy a house because, yeah, I'd have the ability to do so, but because I haven't, it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't give me any special sense of identity, but it's certainly not something that I aspire to have, and it's something that's just not that important to me. It's important that I've got a secure roof over my head, and that if the brown stuff was to hit the whirly thing for any reason, that, you know, I'd have somewhere I could go or something that I could do, or, you know, sort of a backup plan. But I've been very fortunate, touch wood, that, it hasn't come to that.
Yeah, because Raglan's got a little bit of a housing shortage.
Oh, yes, it has. Yeah, it's a shame, you know, on the road that I live in, you know, I think over half of the properties are unoccupied for the better part of the year, which I think is just a tragedy. But again, you know, it's just the world we live in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and Yeah, it really is just about how we are as people, how not, like you go, how you conduct yourself and how you act and all that, but it goes beyond that, you know, and this is why I harp on so much about being true to yourself and doing what you love and finding your heart, because everyone has a heart. Most people don't know, but everyone does. And you really have to know your own heart, which is, what is it that you absolutely love doing, you know? And then when we do that, we actually automatically, it's like a filtering out effect, it's a ripple effect, and it filters out into other people, it filters out into our mindset, into our behaviours, into how we, what we say, what we do. It's just, it's incredible when we actually do what we love. And yeah, and choosing from that place, you know, making choices from that place. Okay, I want to move house, so what sort of place and where do I want to move to, you know? And, you know, when I made that choice from my heart and I want to choose to serve my writing, then I found a place that's really secluded and absolutely perfect to write from.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And now I think you've found another place that that fits the brief.
Yeah, no, that's the place.
Oh, that's the place you're talking about. Oh, so what was wrong with the old place?
We won't go there.
Maybe it's time for a song.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've made this selection, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It's a song by Chris Thompson, who passed away just recently at the age of 74. Yeah. I've known Chris for a number of years. He was my neighbour at one time. I actually lived in his old house on Taipari Ave for a period. I know his former wife, Lynn Wilkins, very well, and I've recorded with her. Lynn features on this track. It's one of my favourite Chris Thompson tracks. She features on flute. The song is called London Blues, and I think Jane's going to kick that off now.
Yes, I knew Chris too. And, So, he was a very wonderful guitar player and musician, and I was at his little gathering recently to say to farewell. I'm at Kaurangi Cafe at the university, and caught up with Laura, and I think Laura's going to come on the show actually.
Very good. How come I didn't know about this gathering? I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Yep.
London Blues by Chris.
Till I'm good and dead. Back in the city, it hit me so hard I could scream. Everyone ill, at ease over some kind of dream. Ruth is busy bending the great grandson of Mr. Clean. Ladies in waiting, waiting so hard and obscene. Everyone living like living was going out of style. I mind my own business, after a while I smile. I know what love is, I've come many a mile. But how can I tell you my truth, Chelsea style? This is no sing song, it's all about the birds and the bees. I've heard about elaborate courtships, but with you sitting here on my knee, wasting time just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, we were just talking about Chris, actually, and both Sean and I have and knew him fairly well.
Well, reasonably well. You know, it's probably in recent years he's been a little distant. I know that he was popping into Music Works at Tiawa, and a friend of mine, Simon Atherfold, who works there weekends, was recording some of his impromptu performances there. James probably had a little bit more to do with him in recent years. But he was...
The thing was, I put my phone on top of my car a few years back and drove off with it, and I lost all my numbers. And then just recently, I was up at Altair House having a chat to Richard up there, the video DVD hire place, and he said, Chris is being diagnosed with cancer, and I said, oh my God, been meaning to catch up with him for ages, so I got his number off him. And then as you do, you sort of just leave it and you don't get round to it. And I meant to text him and then it was too late. So, shame. But, when my mate Stan was playing with him quite a few years ago, 2011, around there, they were doing quite a few gigs together. Yeah, they sounded amazing together. They did some out here too.
Right. You made mention, I saw a tribute post to Chris on your Facebook, and you made mention of Stan's Kitchen. Was that just Stan's Kitchen?
Yeah, it's Kitchen at Fox.
It wasn't like a fancy name for a cafe or a performance space. It was just a kitchen.
Yeah, that was in Stan's Kitchen at Fox Street, because that's where they used to practice a lot.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And... it was a really nice, I think it was a nice time for Chris, because he really enjoyed playing with Stan.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think, Aaron mentioned him when he did, interviewed Lynn, I think, the other day, so I think he was going to try and have a chat to him, but I'm going to get him on my show too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah, and like I said, I think Laura's going to come on, because Chris has got a tribute gig where his friends are going to play some of his music at Nirvana Lounge on the 30th of January.
Right, yep. So, that's great. Well, I'll certainly make an effort to be there for that one. Yeah, and yes, as you say, Aaron did do an interview with Lynn Walkins, Chris's former wife, and that should be available on the radio station website, www.raglanradio.com.
Yeah, it is. I've listened to it. It's a really good interview. Yeah. Really lovely. So, well, I'll ask you the last question of the interview.
Oh, thank goodness for that. then we can just talk about something else, can we?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. You want to get off yourself, so.
You may want to rephrase that.
The last question is, what did you love doing as a kid growing up?
Well, I spent my formative years in Taupo in central North Ireland. The first 6 years of my life, we lived in Hastings because that's where Dad was working, but Dad did own what was his family home in Taupo and has done since time immemorial. Hastings, we lived just around the corner from what was then Fantasyland, and that was just an awesome place to be. It was like, you know, Disneyland if you bought it off Temu. You know, it was just a really nice playground, and it was huge. You know, it was absolutely massive. I think there might be a water park there now, which I've never been to. I have very few memories of school, although I went to Parkvale Primary School. I do remember getting lost on my way to a friend's house, and that had quite an impact on me at that time. But I think living in Taupo, it was just that small town feel. I mean, you knew everyone. Everybody knew you. There was the water. There was the walking tracks, the cycling tracks. You know, our family were a part of the Harriers Club, so we went cross country running on a number of occasions. It was just being out late. You know, there was no expectation of having to go home, you know, at a certain time. You know, it was just a wonderful little town to grow up, and you could really be a kid. And it's I moved from Taupo in my early 20s to Hamilton. I spent 13 years there and felt absolutely claustrophobic, which sort of prompted the move to Raglan in 2001. And it's really nice to have that sense of community back and that sense of belonging, being in a place where, you know, you felt safe, where, you know, your family was safe. And communities like this, and well, you know, like Taupo and Raglan, you know, they're perhaps not subjected to the same problems that you get in the big cities, and that's really what I like about small towns. Yeah, so for me, what I enjoyed most about being a child was just the freedom to do what you wanted and to be, you know, who you were, and that was something that
it's quite ambiguous though. So what actually did you like doing?
Can't I be ambiguous?
Exactly. Like, did you like playing in the mud? Did you like playing with Lego?
No, I couldn't even spell Lego back then. I think for me it was probably being down at the lakefront. You know, it's the great thing about Taupo is that if you know where to go, you can swim virtually all year round, because there are a number of hot springs around the shoreline. And so, you know, the lake was clearly a prominent part of my upbringing in Taupo as a child. So swimming, the AC bars was another place that I enjoyed going, because there was no entry fee at that time. You just sort of came and went as you pleased. Our school was just sort of up the road, and it was really no big deal. Taupo Primary School is, you know, right on the edge of town, and oddly enough, it's the same school that my father attended. what, 35 odd years prior to me. Yeah, so I've sort of lost my train of thought here. Specifically, it was just being a kid. You know, it's...
So swimming,
most definitely. Swimming and water sports. You know, growing up, I played hockey and cricket and a little bit of football. I was, never a rugby guy, but, I just didn't really have the build for that game. But, it was just a great place to be a kid. You know, cycle rides that went for hours and hours. You know, it was just that sort of town. You could really get out and, sort of extend yourself. And, I'm just trying to think what else we got up to as children.
And so even now, like, you bike everywhere and you do surfing, don't you?
I used to surf. I still do over the summer down at Nauru Beach. I'd probably get my lights punched out if I tried to drop in on a wave at Manu Bay. When I had that health scare, 10 odd years ago, it sort of had me reevaluating some of the things I was doing at the time, and that was perhaps something that needed to sort of, go on to the top shelf for a wee while. I mean, I was surprised to hear about Yoda's passing, and Philip Mitchell, of course, local tradie, Yoda, loved and admired by a number of people, because I don't think he was really any older than me, but, he had a heart attack out in the surf just a few weeks ago, and that came as a real shock to anyone. So, you need to look after yourself, and you need to know your limits. Cycling is only something I've picked up again in recent months. As I said, having recently retired, I needed to do some, stuff to fill in the day, and that was something that I decided to have a crack at, because, of course, it's just like riding a bike. You never forget how to do it, and it's been a lot of fun. It doesn't seem to be getting any easier, but then, of course, I'm not getting any younger. So, yeah, but I'm just trying to think what else we did as kids. We didn't have a lot laid on. We were a poor family. We didn't have a lot of toys. We didn't have a lot of accessories. We didn't have any devices. Books. Reading was a huge part of growing up. Being involved in school activities, I was in, any number of school productions. I had a wonderful voice until, I got to the age of 14 or 15, and things changed. Music was a big part of my life. I took, piano lessons on a regular basis up until maybe the age of 11 or 12, and then I sort of lost interest in it. But, it's, just learning, but taking that basic musical theory knowledge and then applying it to other instruments like the guitar and the bass guitar, which is are things that I play on a regular basis these days. Nothing was laid on. You made your own fun, and there were really no limits. You could be away from home from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and nobody would be too bothered about what you were up to and what you were doing and how much trouble you were getting yourself in. Got into a bit of trouble, but that's to be expected.
Cool, right. Well, I think it's something worth reflecting on for you, Sean, actually, is just having a little bit of a travel back into your childhood and maybe see what you really loved doing back then, and then just see if it's something you can bring into, the now.
Yeah, I'm not going to be building up any more letterboxes, if that's what you're inferring. No.
Good to hear. My letterbox is safe. Okie dokie. Well, thank you. Thank you for your open and honest answers on Heart Talks here. And you're not going anywhere, so we'll keep chatting, but let's have another song.
Yep.
What would you like to play now?
Oh, no, your choice this time. Because I've got absolutely nothing.
okay, well, I think I might have to just do a James Ray song because I always play one of his, at least one, on the show. So let's do It's Christmas. Let's do Faith, the one about his daughter, because that's lovely. And yeah, Merry Christmas, if that they'll be listening. But Merry Christmas, James and Faith. And
yeah, well, Charlie. This is getting recorded, so you can listen in at any time.
Yes, true, true. So yeah, Merry Christmas, the Stool family.
Are answered, cause I know it's true. Like her fairy tale book, she's my princess, and she'll fill my life until I'm laid to rest. I don't need fortune or luck, all I need is my faith to love. When I'm down and the times are tough, my angel is faith, and she lifts me up. My angel is faith, and she lifts me up. Faith in my heart, it's a wonderful day, right from the start. Bright morning sun, or dark and stormy skies, there's a rainbow of love in her eyes. I don't need fortune or luck, all I need is my faith and love. When I'm down and the times are tough, my angel is faith, and she lifts me up. My angel is faith. I love her beyond my dying days. Heaven on earth is my angel faith. Heaven on earth is my angel faith. I don't need fortune or luck, all I need is my faith.
By James Ray. And James has entertained us at the Raglan Club every Thursday, except the last Thursday of the month. And yes, as an avid line dancer, I've attended most of them since I moved here in February. I think we started line dancing in March. I started then. Yeah, and thanks to Louisa for her wonderful instruction at 5:30 till 6, and getting everyone inspired and motivated. And if we lose what we're doing, we always watch her, and she doesn't often lose what she's doing. So yeah, she's an amazing dancer. So yes, thanks to her. And yeah, fingers crossed that James will be back next year.
I would most definitely need instruction, I think. Yeah. So the line dancing has been going for just the last 12 months or so?
No, that's just me.
Okay.
It's been going a couple of years, I think.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a lovely group of people. Like, everyone is just so nice, you know, and so welcoming, and you can just rock up there and, you know.
Right, do they dress
give
up?
Give it a crack.
Do you have to? Do you have to dress up?
No.
No. No. Okay.
Cowboy boots are not mandatory.
I don't think I've ever owned a pair of cowboy boots.
No, I hadn't until recently either. But
oh, you got yourself some cowboy boots.
Yes, hell yes. And I've got two pairs now. But I only wear one.
Are they going to start breeding?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know, but maybe. But yeah, so you actually do dance better in cowboy boots, I feel.
Right.
Yes. And
mental note. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not the hat. That's a little bit too far for the rest. Yes. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they let you wear hats inside the Raglan Club, do they? Or?
Don't know. Well, they do if you do, because we do dress up sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Like the 4th of July was a big night.
Right.
For James's release. It was on the 4th of July too. And yeah, we had a little Christmas thing.
Mm-hmm.
People dressed up. Some people wore hats.
Right.
And yeah, but it's all ages. We've got little Maria who just turned 8. She comes along, she's got her favourite songs, and is very forthcoming in requesting them with James. And
right, and when does it kick off next year?
That's a very good question. It's a little bit up in the air. Apparently the entertainment committee at the club is reviewing the situation.
Right.
So if you are on board with James, everyone needs to write in, mm-hmm. I feel.
So what sort of attendance are you getting at each of these?
Heaps.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, even in the last 4 months, it's grown a lot.
Right, and people are buying drinks and they're ordering meals and making a night of it.
And it's people that wouldn't normally go to the club. Like, I doubt I'd really go there if it wasn't for line dancing, completely honest. Maybe have a game of pool or something, but yeah. Mm.
So if you are on the entertainment committee at the Raglan Club, heed Jane's words. This is something that's worthwhile carrying on with.
Oh, hell yes, because you'll lose a lot of people. They'll lose, a lot of customers on a Thursday night. Yes, and all the line dancers, well, the majority of line dancers actually support the kitchen and buy food.
Right, yes.
It's a bit disappointing last Thursday. James didn't get his dinner. Well, they've restructured the kitchen staff or something and they just didn't know. So there's a bit of restructuring going on there, which is tricky, always tricky. Yeah, but it's just such a good night. The floor's amazing. They've got the new floor in for the line dancing.
Right, yeah.
Probably for bowls as well, I'd say. But we think it's for us. But yeah. And so it's just, and everyone looks forward to going. Everyone looks forward to Thursdays. Yeah. So anyway, I feel like more of the radio station crew should actually come down and try it. It will carry on next year, no doubt.
Right, right. Probably needs a bit more promotion, maybe, because it's something that I've only really heard of through you. So maybe the Raglan Club needs to. Well, actually, I don't follow them on Facebook. So, but then again, some people are just so dependent on social media for finding out what's going on, and that's really not what it's all about. I think that people need to perhaps branch out a little bit more, and realise that there is more, to the world than Facebook.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yes.
A bit more signage around town or something, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've been running an open mic night there for years, David Mabey and Pablo. And you just don't hear about it. I think there's a little sign up inside the club itself promoting it, but that's really about it. And I know it's reasonably well attended, but I think they could be doing so much better. So, so there we go.
Yeah, Pablo's there on a Thursday because Maria's his daughter.
Right.
Little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so we need to keep it going anyway because it's a whole different genre of people that populate the club.
Yeah, that's right.
And ladies come through from Tumata now. And also some of the line dancing crew from Otrahonga come through some Thursdays.
Right.
So it's great. And James will get snapped up in Cambridge if they don't keep them on board.
Yeah, yeah. I quite often, when I go for a cycle in the afternoons or early evenings, I'll quite often cycle through the Raglan Club car park, and there never seems to be too many people there. You know, they really do need to attract a bit more custom. I mean, I know I've been in there on a couple of occasions myself. It's not what I would consider a regular watering hole for me. Well, given that I don't drink for a start. And you know, the prices are very cheap, and the food is really good and reasonably priced. And I think they've got a real asset there, and they need to be, perhaps upping their game and promoting, you know, what it is and what they have there.
Definitely, it's not dog racing anymore. That's for sure. Because thank God. It's not just racing and rugby, it's...
And pokies, although, having said that, the radio station does get some funding from the Lion Foundation, which runs those pokies, so, yeah, okay, so we can't argue too strongly against those.
Right, okay.
Sorry, I'm taking the mouse from you. You're in charge, Jane.
I don't know what you're doing. Okay. Let's play this next song that Sean's got loaded here.
Yes, it's another Christmas song. It's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and it's by The Beths. This is probably my favourite version of this song.
Okay, cool. Here it is.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Now on, our troubles will be mild
Yeah, Jane was just saying we haven't played any ads, but it is Christmas Day, and I don't think we're under any obligation to. In fact, I think we would be breaking the law if we were to be playing ads today. So, Jane, you can rest easy.
I can rest. I forgot the ads. Yeah. A little bit of, anyway, that was the Beths, and have yourself a merry little Christmas. It was a nice vision. Quite like that. Did you have something to say about that one?
No, not really. I mean, it sounded really quite sexy, but it's actually anything but, because the Beths are just a hard-out, you know, garage band. Yep. You know, Elizabeth Shaw, who is just a wonderful singer-songwriter, and there's just nothing pretentious about her, and I think that's just a marvellous cover.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Just got a message from Louisa, and line dancing started in June 2022.
Right, so there we go, folks. Line dancing in Raglan started in June 2022, or at least this version of it. I don't know if it's been here previously, but, you know. Maybe it was square dancing or triangle dancing, but no. Line dancing started in June of 2022.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, it really is. It's like exercise, it's cardio, it's coordination, it's mental agility, because my God, I was fried for those first few months trying to keep up with the steps and learning that. Yeah.
I went to Zumba at one time. That was hard work. You know what Zumba is?
Yeah.
One of only a handful of men who went. In fact, sometimes I was the only man there.
Did you wear lycra?
No. No, I don't wear lycra.
Okay, not even cycling.
No, definitely not. Yeah, there are some things you just don't need to see.
Right. Yes. Good eye. If you, I actually think writing a letter to keep James coming here on a Thursday is probably a good idea if you feel inclined. Some people are taking steps to, you know, to talk to people, so yeah, we will hopefully secure his place there next year, and keep the line dancing happening in Raglan, because it just makes such a huge difference. You know, like, I've been to a few socials where they just play music and it's cool, you know, it's good. It's fun, but I mean, for God's sakes, live country music, how much better does it get for line dancing?
I don't know, how much better does it get?
It doesn't get much better than that.
I quite often go to large social functions, and you know, I'm a little bit hard of hearing in one ear, and you know, and I don't like people that much, so yeah, no, that's not quite true. But I just find it hard to engage one-on-one, you know, with people at a function where there's a, you know, a bit of music in the background. So yeah, I mean, that's probably something to think about.
Yeah, but at line dancing you don't have to. That's why I love it, because I can't.
You don't have to talk to people.
I can't talk in loud spaces because no one can hear me, because I have scarred.
Oh, is that right? I can't imagine why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's tricky. It's tricky. And so, yeah, like, you don't have to talk.
Right.
You just do line dancing. And, you know.
Now, Jane, I am aware that you were wanting to get away at around 3:30, so.
Oh, yes. We will, because we're having a little bit of a picnic on the beach for people that are a bit of a loose end. I haven't got to sit where on the beach.
Well, it's, yeah, okay. Might be handy to know, if you're at a loose end, just come down to the beach. There's plenty of it. You could start at one end and work your way to the other.
Well, there might be a few people. Yes, I should have really nailed this. Maybe we'll play one more song and then we'll go, and then we'll decide, and then we can say just before. So we'll just play one more song.
Yep, your choice, because I've got nothing.
Yeah, okay. I will. I'm just going to Google something here. I think we've done Love Actually.
Nothing more from Love Actually, thank you. Yeah.
That you did
as much as I love the movie.
Yeah. let's just have a look what we've got here in this genre. Gosh, it's Spotify isn't very good for Googling, is it?
she's looked up Country Christmas. Can you imagine why?
Well, I've only just discovered country music through this line dancing thing, and it's quite good. So, if anyone's listening out there and has a request, can you please text me?
Loretta Lynn, how about that?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Country, oh my God, I think this is going to be dreadful.
Oh, it's only 2 minutes and 6 seconds long.
Let's give it a crack.
Okay.
Mommy, pop the popcorn and we'll string it on the tree. Apples, nuts and candy, oh what a Christmas bee. Daddy, play the organ and we'll all sing silent night. We'll have a good old country Christmas, all right. Our presents, Christmas Eve about midnight, we'll have a good old country Christmas, all right. Make pallets on the floor just like we always did. Grandma's baked the pies and cakes. Oh, what a pretty sight. We'll have a good old country Christmas, all right. A good old country Christmas, that's what it's gonna be. With all the family gathered around our pretty Christmas tree. We'll open up our presents Christmas Eve about midnight. We'll have a good old country Christmas, all right. A good old country Christmas, that's what it's gonna be. With all the family gathered around our pretty Christmas tree. We'll open up our presents Christmas Eve about midnight. We'll have a good old country Christmas, all right.
Oops, that was Country Christmas by Loretta Lynn. That was a cheerful number, wasn't it? And just been deciding where we're going to go for this little picnic situation. If you're at a loose end, we're thinking Naranui. I think maybe might be the choice. What do you think, Sean? It's different one here. What about?
Oh, sorry, I'm back.
Okay, good. We're thinking the boat ramp end of Papahoea.
That sounds good. I was just thinking about that.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. Let's do that.
Yep.
I don't know where that is because
yep, so you just go down Marine Parade and then over the one-way bridge and then just carry on towards the camping ground, and there are boat ramps on your right, or a boat ramp on your right. So if we just sort of meet there and we can take it from there.
Okay, that sounds good. If you're at a loose end and you're by yourself and you're sitting home alone, sad, just chuck a couple of things to share at a picnic and come and meet down there at about
meet all the other sad, lonely people.
Yeah, at about 4 o'clock. Okie dokie. Oh, well, thank you for listening in, and thank you so much, Sean, for sharing a little bit about yourself.
It's been a pleasure.
And a Merry Christmas, everyone. And, I'll probably see you next week. So I will probably do my show again next week.
Yes, there'll be a few of us who are sticking around over the holidays, so just keep an eye on on the schedule on raglanradio.com to see who's on. We may be here, we may not be. I will be, Jane will be, and there'll be a few others that will be continuing over the holidays. Aaron, of course, is on annual leave at the moment, so the morning show won't be back until probably mid-January. And we look forward to that coming back.
Yeah, and there'll be a few people filling in for him now,
Yeah, we'll have there'll be a few morning takeover shows between 8 and 10, but they'll probably be announced via the socials, both Instagram and Facebook. Mm. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, I
thought you've got 8 songs on your playlist.
Yeah, no, I thought about I'm going to play one of them in a minute.
Okay.
I thought about doing a takeover thing.
Right, good.
Thought about it, but like I said, I'm not good at the weather. I'm just not good at, you know.
You don't have to do a morning show. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, maybe have some guests on. Might be good. Okie dokie. Well, we're going to go out with James Ray because we want to support his return to the club. So, it's a pity he hasn't done a Christmas song, actually. That would have been quite apt. But we will go out with Chasing the Dream, because it's a good one. Okie dokie, ka kite, and Merry Christmas.
And he fell in love when he held her in his arms. His first love was his first guitar. She was standing all alone in a secondhand store. She needed him, but he knew he needed her more. He was chasing the dream, the only one he'd ever known. It's taking him a long way from his home. Daddy's old guitar, his only friend to see. They'd live a life chasing the dream. Smoky old bars, one night stands, for tips in a jar, in a hillbilly band. Sleeping in his truck, barely getting by. And those honky-tonk dudes was a way of life. He was chasing the dream, the only one he'd ever known. It's taking him a long way from his home. And Daddy's old guitar, his only friend he's seen. And together they'd live life chasing the dream. Everything he had for $100 bill, taught him a ride all the way to Nashville. He'd been singing the songs down on Music Road. It was there that he learned it sure helps, just who you know. There it broke Daddy's heart in a secondhand store, when he sold his dreams to feed a family of four. The owner told me he buys broken dreams from dream-chasing guitar pickers just like me. Now I'm chasing the dream, the only one I've ever known. It's taking me long way from my home. This old guitar, my only friend it seems. And together we'll live a life chasing the dream. And together we'll